And I guess the first question is, why write? And for readers, why read about the Little Free Library movement?
Well, the Little Free Library movement has kind of a fascinating story. I mean, this whole thing started with a man named Todd Ball, who lives in Hudson, Wisconsin, right along the Mississippi River. And he built the first Little Free Library back in 2009 as a tribute to his mom, who was, you know, a devoted reader, a former school teacher. And so Todd had this kind of everyday stroke of brilliance, put this hand-built box of books in his front yard, and then just watched what happened and saw how people connected with it. And so from that first Little Free Library, they have, over the past 5 years, they've just spread throughout the country. There's now, you know, a Little Free Library or a few hundred in every state. There are 16,000 of them around the world. They're in 70 different countries. So it's just kind of been this phenomenon of people supporting literacy and supporting community.
You've been talking to a lot of stewards, and that's the name that the Little Free Library organization uses, of people who have put up Little Free Libraries. What are the personal reasons that people have for putting one up?
You know, I think that one steward had a good analogy where he said, oh, I get it, it's all about air conditioning, because he said that when he was growing up and didn't have air conditioning, everyone was outside sitting on their front porches, talking with each other. Kids were playing on the sidewalk. Families were getting to know each other. And I think that a lot of us, you know, would like more of that connection. I live in Minneapolis, which is a small city, and I didn't know a lot of my neighbors on my block. And when I put up my Little Free Library, within 5 minutes, I met people who I had never talked to. They came to stop by with a book, to chat. And for a lot of folks, a Little Free Library can turn into a neighborhood water cooler where people run into each other naturally, or they can share good news or bad news for that matter. They can talk about what's important to them and their community.
What do or do you find anything among the people who set up Little Free Libraries, anything they have in common?
Well, I think first of all, there's a love of books. I mean, that's one common thread. People often, you know, they'll use books that they put in a Little Free Library almost to share a piece of themselves. And I think it's fun also to see what other people put in your Little Free Library. There's kind of this literary voyeurism going on of discovering what your neighbors are reading, giving you something common to talk about. And often what I've found is interesting too is that these Little Free Libraries are kind of an antidote to our technological world. They couldn't be any more analog, right? I mean, you put books in a box, people walk by, they stop, and they take a look inside. But something that's interesting, too, is that a lot of people around the world have discovered Little Free Libraries because of technology, because of the internet. This morning, actually, I was talking to a man in South Korea who came across Little Free Libraries in a really kind of funny way. He Googled the word library, and from that internet search, the Little Free Library website popped up. So from halfway around the world, he fell in love with this concept, built the first Little Free Library in South Korea, and has since built two more. He's answering emails from people around his country who want to build more Little Free Libraries, and it's spreading in that way.
Well, that raises, I guess, brings me just to a general question about that area and how Little Free Libraries have come around during this time when the internet has become so pervasive. E-books are on the rise, and physical books as the way to read just may be changing in their role. Why Little Free Libraries now, when physical books may seem less important when it comes to reading?
Well, I think that for a lot of us, we miss a little bit of the serendipity of a bookstore, the serendipity of real physical books in a real physical library. You know, Amazon tells us what books we might like to read. Netflix tells us what movies we might like to watch. And little free libraries offer this sense of discovery. You know, when you come upon a little free library on the sidewalk and you open the door, you could find a Russian novel, you could find a field guide to birds, you could find a picture book. And I think that that sense of discovery is really appealing to a lot of people.
Does it say anything about the monetary value on books that people are able to essentially, you know, put books up for potential giveaway in little free libraries in a way they might not have a few decades ago?
Well, I think that for a lot of book lovers, I know this is the case for me, is that you always have more books than you can house. You know, you're always trying to clear your shelves a little bit. And so I think for the people who are truly book lovers, they have more than enough to share.
How long do people tend to stick with running? It's hard to really ask this question when the movement's only 5 years old, but
mm-hmm.
do people, are there a lot of people who, once they've started, keep on going with it? Do you see people with little free libraries who started 4 years ago and are still at it?
Yes, I do. And I think that people find kind of new ways to energize their little free libraries. You know, that's part of what I read about in the book is ideas for giving your little free library a boost. You know, in mine, I keep a community notebook, so I can leave notes for my neighbors. People can write a message when they stop by. And that's been really fun to do. You know, one of my favorite notes that I've gotten when I asked people in this notebook, what do you love about little free libraries? Because here in Minneapolis, we have close to 1,000. And one neighbor anonymously just wrote, they're just so human, you know, and I think that that human connection can really keep them energized and keep them going. And I know that here, the numbers of little free libraries just keep going up and up and up. So we haven't seen the phenomenon start to slow down at all.
Is there an impact that you can see on a community or neighborhood or just on other people of a little free library? Anything, anything, I don't know if you could say measure, but you can say that things are different because a little free library is there.
Well, for me, when I see a little free library, it just makes the place feel a little bit friendlier. I know anecdotally there have been real estate agents who have claimed that if there's a little free library on a block, a house will sell faster. I think that it does give everyone just that kind of warmer, friendlier feeling when they know that a stranger is willing to share with the community, you know, in this kind of unobtrusive and selfless and very kind of easy, casual way.
Do you see the Little Free Library movement, if not now, then perhaps in time, having any sort of lasting impact on how people read the way that the Internet seems to have had an impact?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that one thing that the Little Free Library organization hopes is that Little Free Libraries will have a big impact on literacy. One program that they're working on is called Books Around the Block. And with Books Around the Block, they're trying to place little free libraries in areas where kids might not have easy access to books, whether it's because they're not near a library, there's no bookstores, or it's a lower economic community where they don't have resources to buy books or to get to a library whenever they want to. So Books Around the Block is placing books kind of in the everyday lives of kids who might not otherwise pick up a book on a day-to-day basis.
That leads me to a question. I was wondering, do you see a diversity of materials in the little free libraries just based on, you know, who's putting up that particular little free library, who they are, and you know, maybe what readership they're targeting.
Absolutely. In most little free libraries, the contents are always changing. You know, if you stop by at 9 o'clock in the morning, the contents are going to be much different at 9 o'clock at night, because books are cycling through so quickly. And typically, there's great diversity within that selection. There are detective novels and board books for little kids, cookbooks, and, you know, a motorcycle repair guide. So often it's that diversity within a little free library. Sometimes a little free library steward will choose to specialize, and they'll have a little free library that's dedicated only to kids' books. I know there's a little free library in Iowa City, Iowa, that they have a little free library that is dedicated only to scary books, whether they're spooky, you know, campfire tales for kids or a gothic horror novel. That's their theme.
Have you found any little free libraries that are predominantly in languages other than English?
Well, certainly in other countries. I know in Pakistan, there is a steward who he started, you know, more than a dozen little free libraries in Pakistan. And so those little free libraries all hold that region's books in that region's dialect. He did send a photo, though, of one of the little free libraries where all of the books were in their language, except one, which was an Oprah Winfrey biography. So even in Pakistan, you know, there's a bit of diversity in what their little free libraries are holding.
I know the other day I spoke to a steward of a little free library, essentially a school librarian, who had put up a little free library for kids. Tomorrow I will be speaking with a public librarian in a small town rural library district, which has, I think, three or four of them up right now, as a way to extend their reach. Do you see many of those of library-sponsored little free libraries?
Well, I think that schools are a good example of how librarians have kind of taken up the cause of little free libraries as well. You know, for kids, the summer is long, and in terms of, you know, retaining their reading levels, not having access to books in the summer can be a detriment. So I've seen schools that are putting up little free libraries, especially to engage the kids around in the surrounding community in the summertime, and keep them excited about reading. And I just love the thought of school starting and all these kids passing by their little free libraries, taking ownership of those little free libraries, really thinking of them as their library, and trading books like they trade Pokemon cards.
Do you see any of this happening with libraries, any library-sponsored little free libraries aimed at adults as well?
I can't think of a case. I'm not aware of any case like that.
Okay, well, it'll be interesting to see what I get out of the interview I have tomorrow.
Yeah, I'd be interested.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as the future of this movement? How big can it get, and what do you think it'll mean as far as how people regard books?
Well, I think that, you know, little free libraries have a lot of room to grow. The Little Free Library organization is interested in helping any community that doesn't have a public library to build little free libraries as a way to share books within their community. They're also interested in, you know, going in new directions, such as sharing seeds. You know, that's been one new venture that's we're just thinking about this summer, is using a little free library to, in addition to a book exchange, as a seed exchange. There are some people who trade recipes in their little free libraries. Some people trade poems. So I think that the creativity of the stewards is limitless. People have been doing some amazing things. So I think there's still a lot of room to grow.
I'm struck just as you're talking about those examples of just the nature of little free libraries, which in terms of books or whether it's other things, you are essentially giving things away. You are also potentially getting things back in return because people will leave other books, but it's all really left up, you know, the chance and other people's wills. So it's a little different from, you know, say a bookstore model or even a library model where everybody knows what the cost of a book is. And I don't know where to go with that, but that just seems to be something that's perhaps different than how these things have been regarded before.
It is interesting. I mean, the Little Free Library concept is completely community driven. There's no price on a book. One of their mottos is you can't steal something that's free. You know, sometimes when people put up a Little Free Library, neighbors will say, oh, well, gosh, all your books are going to get stolen. And that's really kind of the point. I mean, you want people to take books out of the library. You want them to be read. You want them to be enjoyed. But it is a concept that's, you know, new to people if they aren't already aware of it.
Do you see, I mean, what reports do you see of, say, vandalism of Little Free Library boxes? Does it differ? And maybe just what sort of neighborhoods they get put in? Or do they tend to be respected?
You know, widely they tend to be very respected. There have been a few bad cases that are absolutely the exception. But I know that here in Minneapolis, just this week, a Little Free Library was set on fire. And I've only ever heard of that happening once before. But kind of the happy ending to the story is that the neighborhood really rallies. Because when something is on the sidewalk, right off the sidewalk in your front yard, it really becomes kind of a blurring between public and private space. And people in the community really kind of take it on as something that belongs to everybody. So if something negative does happen, in every story I've heard, the community really comes together to build a new library, help that family get a new library back up, and restock the library. And in most cases, there are no problems. And I think part of the reason that there are no problems is because of that feeling of ownership that a community has and their willingness to just contribute, whether that's by contributing a book or by, you know, just keeping an eye on their street.
In the case of that Little Free Library that was set on fire in Minneapolis, what ultimately happened?
Well, it's really kind of breaking news right now. I think it may have just happened yesterday. And so that Little Free Library, there is an organization against arson that's put up a $5,000 reward for any information on who did it. I talked with the founder of Little Free Library this morning about it, and he said that the Little Free Library steward is already has plans to rebuild, and that Little Free Library is sending them a new charter sign to put up. So it sounds like it will quickly go back up.
Well, Margaret, I wanted to thank you very much for talking with me. This has been fascinating.
It's been great to talk with you.